And there's times where you have to take a scripture and say, you know what? And even there's obstacles. Obstacles are biblical also. The obstacles are in the Bible. That doesn't mean no. I grew up in an evangelical church where, you know, if there's an obstacle, well, that could be God saying no. They judge God's will by circumstance. And that's not true. God's word is not judged by circumstance. We judge circumstance by God's word. So this is awesome. And so this kind of leads into what we want to talk about today, because I want to talk about prayer, not just prayer, but the prayer of intercession. So I'm going to have to move pretty quickly here, but I believe that we can do some things. So what is intercession? So turn to Ezekiel 22. And I'm just going to jump around a little bit and hit where I need to hit. Verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, say to her, talk to the land, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They've taken treasure and precious things. They've made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made the difference between the clean, unclean, and the clean. And it goes on. I want you, and scrolling down to verse 29. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. Verse 30. So I sought for a man. Everyone say a man. Among them. Who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Verse 31, therefore I have poured out my indignation on them and consumed them in the fire of my wrath. God is looking for a person, one person who can stand in the gap. Isaiah 59. Again, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Starting at verse 1, though. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has uttered perversity. And it goes on here. I'm going to scroll down. Let's go to verse 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity, fairness, cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Even people that try not to do evil, they become targeted. Does that happen today? Oh, yeah, it does. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw, listen, that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. So in Ezekiel, there was judgment. But this time, Isaiah is talking about a prophetic act where God himself steps into the place and becomes the intercessor. Some situations can only be changed through intercession. So people don't often talk about intercession nowadays. It used to be talked a lot back in the 80s. But this is because there's so much that we've been revealed to about different things in the body of Christ. Sometimes we forget these truths. That no matter how much we learn about God and how much technology advances, this is one technology that will never go away. The need for an intercessor. The need for intercession. Now, intercession is an act. It is not primarily prayer, but it is a spiritual act that can be performed in prayer. Okay? It is a spiritual act that can be performed in prayer. Now, it is not, there's lots of different types of prayer, and it is not like the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith is, just as a contrast, is one of the most common prayers that Jesus prayed when he was on earth. That almost, whenever he went ministering, he was not interceding, he was praying the prayer of faith. So when he healed the sick, when he was praying to God for things, for the wind and the waves to be still, for people to be healed, for the bread and loaves to be multiplied, he was praying the prayer of faith. That is prayer 101. That is the most common prayer that every believer should know how to pray. But the prayer of faith is targeted at things. Because the Bible says in Mark 11 that have faith in God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall be done. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things, everyone say things, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. So prayer of faith is for things. It's not regarding the will of people. That's very important, because you cannot pray the prayer of faith to change someone's will. Now, you can pray the prayer of faith to influence atmospheres, to influence things that are around the people, even for sickness. Well, that sickness is not them. Demons are not them. So there are things that may be attached to a person. They're like, well, that's part of their will. They want that. No, the sickness has its own, it's a separate thing. Sickness is not them. That's why you can pray for that thing. Okay, but there are certain situations that where the will of a person and the will of the enemy are so intertwined, they're wrapped up like roots, and just they're gripped together. That to break it off, you have to violate the person's will. And it's for this reason that intercession, it will come into play, because intercession will unlatch. It'll divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discern the thoughts, and it'll break those things apart so the person can make a free choice. Intercession. Some things can only be changed through intercession. Hebrews 7. Let's talk about a little bit what Jesus does as a part of intercession. Verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Verse 23. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, talking about Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. Everyone say to the uttermost. The saying goes, the uttermost and guttermost. The uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Again, intercession, Jesus is not praying for you. Okay, that doesn't say intercession is not primarily prayer, like Jesus before the throne, oh God, you know, I'm praying. That's not what he's doing. He is making a way. He's standing in the gap. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do for you. I says, I have made a way. Whatever you ask, he says, I have made a way. There's no gap between you and God. I am standing in the way. I am working through the Father to make a way where anything you need on earth can be provided. There's no barriers between you and God, because he stands in intercession. He has bridged the gap. Now, in this instance, he stood as a what? A faithful high priest. He was faithful. All right? So, Revelation chapter 1. Now, he was not the end of the priesthood. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what has he made us? First thing. Second thing. Very different. These are two very different positions. Kings were meant to exercise judgment. They're supposed to decree things and make things established here on earth. They are standing in authority. They have rights. And no one can say, what are you doing? The Bible says, well, the word of a king is, there is power. And who can say to him, what are you doing? So God has made us kings on earth. Well, we can decree things and see things happen here on earth. So that's a spiritual position he's given us. So, but number two is priests. Now, priests are different. Now, priests, they're not primarily earth-faced. They're God and earth. They provide a bridge. So the priests will feel the needs of the people. They feel the temptations. They feel the needs, the sorrows, everything those people are going through. But they also, at the same time, they grab the hand of God. And so they, with this hand, they see the mercy, the strength, the love, the provision, everything that the people need, and they supply those needs through them to the people. They provide a bridge for the presence of God, for the mercy of God, for the life of God to come into the earth. And so it's not just God. So some people separate, say, you know, a priest is not a mystic. A mystic or a hermit where they only spend time with God, only spend time with God, only spend time with God. And they're not a politician. They're not a people pleaser where they only spend time with men. Oh, I understand what you're going through. Oh, and they're not a psychologist. Yes, I understand the way you think. Yes. And so let me tell you some things that can help with your mentality, that would help you deal with your issues here on earth. No, they say, I hear you. I hear you. Let's meet them together. Amen? So, like I said, intercession is more difficult because it involves someone else's will. So there are people where the God of this world has blinded them, where they do not understand. These people, they may even want a situation to change. Oh, actually, there could be two things. They could be wanting a situation to change, but they don't know how. Or number two, they may not want a situation to change. They don't even see it as wrong. And so, intercession always involves a stronghold. A stronghold is this. Is something we accept as unchangeable, which is contrary to the will of God. That even though, like, well, it's just the way it is. But it is clearly contrary to the will of God. But if everyone accepts it, that is what's called a stronghold. Because no one's moving it. It's something that's been set up and it just won't move. This involves situations, desires, enemies, the enemy strategies that have ensnared people's wills. And so, again, there's two types. There's people that want to be free and people that don't want to be free. So Isaiah 61 talks about that, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. There's a difference between captives and the prisoners. Prisoners are taken prison because they've done something wrong. They're serving a sentence. They've legitimately done something wrong and they are in jail because of it. And this is talking about a spiritual jail. They could be because they are trapped in shame. They know that they live in bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's like this thing is wrong. I've done this. And they just can't get free. They're serving a sentence. And the enemy keeps them under lock and key. He says, you know what? You sinned. You're mine. But there's another type that's a captive. Like a prisoner of war, a POW. Where they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he took advantage of them, and they're captive. They may not have wanted to be born in this type of family. They may not have asked for this type of situation. They may not have asked for their boss to do this to them or their neighbor to do this to them. But just because you live in this world, there's times where captivity happens. There's another saying that goes around that's different than that. But captivity sometimes will happen. And so the beauty of this is the anointing is upon us to set both of them free. Both of them can be set free. Now, this is the type of prayer that we use for people, for your son, for your daughter, for your husband, for your wife, your parents, your other relatives, your city council, your schools, your government. These are all, it's not about self-will, but these are about situations where you feel a situation and the promise of God, the purpose of God, but they don't. They're like blind to it, like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't feel the need to do that. But you do. You're like, why don't you see this issue so clearly? And you feel the promise of God, the purpose of God, the will of God. And you're like, why can't you get this? And your heart, you feel what they feel, but you also feel what God feels. And at the same time, like, I need to bring these two together. That's where intercession comes to pass. They don't just see the gap. They're not just gap analyzers, gap complainers. They're gap fillers. Too many times we're experts in problem finding, not problem solving. Romans chapter 8, can't get into this, but the Spirit of God works with us to bridge this gap. So he takes hold of us. And the picture in Romans chapter 8 is in intercession that earth and the Spirit of God are both groaning as in birth pangs to bring something to pass, the will of God to pass. And so the earth is groaning. The Spirit is groaning. And so what's standing in the way is us sometimes, is that we see the need. We see the groaning of the earth. We feel the groaning of the Spirit, but we just stand back. Where logically, we're pro-life, but spiritually, we're pro-choice. Because something comes to alive inside of us. The seed is the Word of God. I'm not going to get graphic here, but the seed is the Word of God. And so it gets impregnated inside of us. You're like, this is the will of God. This is what should be. But instead of leaning into the Spirit and start saying, Spirit of God, pray this through me, even though I don't know all the words, but as much as I do know about the promise of God, I'm going to pray this through to the point where this thing comes to pass. But instead we're like, all the unbelief, the doubt, the impossibilities, the times we failed in the past, all those things come in, and it, like it says, it chokes out the word, and it becomes aborted, and the earth's still groaning, the Spirit's still groaning, but he has no incubation chamber for that word to come to pass. Some things that your children are dealing with, some things your parents are dealing with, some things your neighbors are dealing with, can only be solved when you get back to a place of intercession. We will never go past that. We'll never go past that. I'm going to end with a little story here that's from my life. So when I was like 18, 19 years old, I got these things in the mail. I was part of C. Peter Wagner, and he had this different, all these intercessors. This is in the 80s and 90s, where they're big into prayer movements and things like that. The evangelical church was also got on board with that. And one thing they were doing is praying through what's called the 1040 window. How many people have ever heard the 1040 window? Okay, most of you guys have. So the 1040 window is a place, you know, between 10 degrees and 10 degrees north of the equator and 40 degrees north of the equator and in the eastern hemisphere. And so it makes a block where most of the unevangelized countries, the poorest countries, the places where they have not heard the gospel light is the darkest. Most of them live within this 1040 window. And so it was talked about, you need to pray through this. And I'm like, well, I can't go anywhere, but I can pray. And so I would set up a calendar. They send these calendars in the mail. And so each day I would pray for like three or four different countries. And they had different prayer points to pray for. They would tell about the population, the percentage of Christianity, the major religions, the statistics from voice of the martyrs, you know, how much, how open they are to the gospel. And they had different prayer points. And I would start praying through these things. And so as I would start praying, God would jump, you know, it would be a springboard where God would take me. As I would start praying, God would give me other things. I would start feeling what they feel over there. I would start feeling like, wow, I'm praying for the apostles, the prophets. I'm praying for those people to rise up. I'm praying for those mothers. I don't know what it means to be a mother as an 8-year-old guy. I don't know any of those things. I don't know anything about how it feels to be an abandoned little girl in these countries. I don't know anything about that. But by the Spirit of God, who knows these things? The Bible says that Jesus touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so the same feelings that God feels when he touches them. And so I start to feel what God feels for them and start to pray. And my prayer times would last for about an hour each day for these things. And so I was praying and every single day, and it was about 40 days for the 10-40 window. That's in each day, it was like 4 or 5 countries. And I did this throughout a few years. And it built something inside me. It changed me. So when you intercede, there's no better way to become transformed to the image of Christ than by taking the place of intercession. Gifts of the Spirit start getting stirred up. Your love gets stirred up. You start seeing with the eyes of Jesus, because that is where he lives. He ever lives to make intercession. And so when you bridge the gap, you take his place, you start feeling what he feels. And I start changing radically. I pray as much as I could in English, and then I start praying in tongues, and oh my gosh, it was just the things that start flooding my heart and my mind. I literally felt carried by the rivers of the Spirit of God. And when you start interceding, the Spirit of God, well, you can start in a certain direction, but after a while, it's like the waves of the Spirit start picking you up and start, whoa, you start carrying the direction, and you start stepping outside of yourself, watching yourself pray, like, what is happening? I like it. It's good. It's weird. It's really weird. But man, it's right. It's good. Something is happening. What happened was this. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus told his disciples, says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He says, but Luke chapter 10, the same disciples he told to pray for the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers into the harvest, guess what? They got sent to the same places. Luke 10, it's like, you go and into all these places. So they became the fulfillment of their own prayer. So unbeknownst to me, when I prayed this way, God was training me and getting my heart prepared for my destiny. So I'm saying intercession helps not just other people that you're praying for. It helps you prepare you for everything God's called you to be. And so what happened was I got sent to a Bible school. And when I, after my first year in Bible school, God spoke to the pastor of the Bible school and said, I want you to send all of your students out to the nations and to pay for it. Guess where's the first nation I got sent to? First nation I got sent to was Nepal. I got dropped and smack dab in the center of the 10-40 window. The highest, just smack dab right there. Where you pray, God equips your heart to go there. It changed my whole life. I didn't want to go there. But God changed my heart through intercession, where my whole life got transformed. You don't know who you are yet. You think you know who you are, but you don't know. Intercession reveals what Christ can do through you and in you. That's awesome. And we'll never outgrow it. Some breakthroughs, I'm telling you what, some breakthroughs in your business, in your home, in your city, in your family's lives. I'm going to say this again, in your family's lives, in your kids' lives. Some breakthroughs will never happen because of the way human wills are intertwined with things. Until you grab hold of the will of God to start taking off those little tendrils of the enemy and the strategies and the wills where people are deceived, where blindness is. Some breakthroughs will never happen until intercession takes place to break that stuff off. Some things you will never see. Some things are like there's a door in front of you and you can't even get through it until intercession changes you, changes the door, changes the thing on the other side of the door to make a way for those things to be birthed into the earth. Everything is waiting. The Spirit of God is for you. The earth is even groaning. The earth is waiting. It says, something's got to take place, but I need the Spirit of God to work through you, to change me. Earth is saying, change me. But we have to yield to it. We have to yield to it. Take time, make time for it. And when you make time for it, he will lean in, and you lean to him, he'll lean into you. And amazing things will happen. Impossible situations will change. Some things the prayer of faith will change, but some things intercession has to change. Father, we thank you right now that you pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. Father, there's people that need to...